Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning. It is time to skip the BS. Time for Undisputed. Time to welcome in the truth, as in Paul Pierce, and the cowboy hater, as in Keyshawn Johnson. Here we go again. You know it and I know it.
You don't have these people really out here thinking I don't like the Cowboys.
You played for the Cowboys and you don't like the Cowboys. I don't get it. And Paul's got on his Celtics green today.
Oh, yeah, after a big win last night.
We got a little splash of Dolphins in there, too. It looks
like there's a little Dolphins in there.
Way to go. All right, we will get to Caleb Williams' pro day, and we will definitely get to James Harden apparently losing his mind for a moment last night. But I don't get, man, I don't know. But let's start with what happened mid-second quarter last night at Golden State, when Santi Aldama rebounded a missed Desmond Bane three and put it back in over Draymond Green to give Memphis a one-point lead. So as they started to run back up court, Draymond wheeled, got in Aldama's face, grabbed and tugged the front of his jersey. Nothing was called. And Aldama and Memphis coach Taylor Jenkins were not happy about that. So after Moses Moody hit a three, put Golden State back in front, Jenkins called time, called over a referee to obviously make his case that Draymond deserved a technical foul. At that point, Draymond got in the middle of the conversation and tried to make his case, which prompted Desmond Bane to intervene, and he and Draymond engaged in a little pushing and shoving that sent Draymond back into Taylor Jenkins, which knocked him to the floor. Now, none of this was end of the world egregious, obviously, but the larger point was this was Draymond Green still battling some anger management issues after getting suspended for those 16 games earlier this season and reportedly undergoing some counseling. So, Paul Pierce, What was your view of what happened last night, and what does last night tell you about Draymond's behavior as we approach what matters, the playoffs?
Well, what this tells me, Skip and Key, that Draymond is never going to lose his edge.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not going to go out there and blow you away with his numbers. So what does Draymond give to the game? He's an intimidator, emotional leader, enforcer. He's the heart and soul.
Is he an intimidator, though? I mean, do you think people are afraid of him, as in physically fear his presence?
It comes that way, Skip.
Okay.
It comes off that way.
I don't think you would be intimidated by
it. No, I come from a different era, too.
Yeah, okay.
This is a different era.
Well.
So, you know, this era.
I don't think you would be intimidated by him either.
Yeah, he would have ran to the sideline. I don't know.
He
was a receiver. He wasn't a linebacker or a DB.
He was not.
He did block people, though. I give Key that.
He was a receiver. You know, they go around the contact.
They do.
And so that's Draymond just giving his edge. That's all I've seen there. There's no suspension.
No, there's no
fine.
No,
that's
no.
Gonna stop him from being him.
No.
And so if this is what he's bringing to the team, he's gonna continue to do that. Now I'll tell you this: if Draymond hadn't won four championships and this was his behavior throughout his time in the league, it probably would have been traded four or five times. You know, there's only so much you could put up with
good
a player
point.
Like that.
Agreed.
But when you've won. Doing these type of things, he has a longer leash than everyone. And the refs know it. I mean, if he's doing this on every play, you can't call every technical.
No.
And so he set a standard to where the aggressive play that he puts forward to other players to where, all right, this is Draymond. If it gets over the top, then we'll give him a tech. Or if he starts choking or punching somebody elbow on him, we'll throw him out the game. And so this was nothing. This is him keeping his edge and being who he is.
How you say the guy's name, Skip?
Aldama.
Aldama.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, he gives him a little chicken wing in the business.
After the layup, right?
After the layup.
Right.
So Draymond says, well, hold on, man. What are you doing? Okay, that's cool.
He did go up over and through Draymond. And I don't think I think Draymond might have been as mad at himself for allowing the offensive board
That may be the case.
Yeah.
But when you got them sharp elbows touching my body.
True.
You're not getting ready to do this to me.
And Aldama's not exactly an established star where you're going to say, okay, I respect right. that. Yeah.
The thing that I don't like about it is I don't like to see Draymond's name in whatever people would potentially consider a negative. I don't like that. I just don't like it for
him. But you like Draymond.
I love him to death.
Didn't you see him not too long ago?
Yeah. Enforcer, like yeah. Paul said. You know, intimidator, not intimidator as I'm a beat you up,
no.
Intimidator, but intimidator to the point where things change on his team like it did last night when they go on a run, when at one point Memphis was only down by one, but then as soon as that happened, all of a sudden, they got hot, and the rest was history.
By the way, from that moment forward, Golden State went on a 42-17 run.
There you go. Now, what
because
is
they have trouble with Memphis because Memphis won't quit on the road. They've been pretty good on the road. But go ahead.
What do I always say to you, Skip, when somebody approaches another athlete? Don't touch me. So when Desmond Bane actually touches his arm, now you're creating something. Because if we cool if you just go, we want to have a conversation. But once you physically put your hands on me.
What is elbow?
No, he grabbed him.
You grabbed him.
Yeah, right don't there. Touch me.
That Aldama grabbed.
No, Desmond Bane.
Desmond. I'm sorry. I thought you were still back on Aldama.
No, I moved on from that.
Yeah, no.
Don't touch me.
Okay.
So when Desmond Bane touches Draymond Green, now all of a sudden you get the little pushing and shoving.
Okay,
going
but
on.
Don't forget. Desmond Bane is protecting his coach because Draymond is getting in the face of his coach on the floor.
What did I tell you? Okay. What did I tell you about Rudy Gobert and Draymond? Don't touch me. Just don't touch me. I'm not touching the coach.
Yeah,
don't touch me.
I got no problem with that.
So when you touch me, all of a sudden, these things start to happen.
Yeah.
Now we pushing and shoving.
Yes.
And Draymond actually didn't knock over the coach. Peyton knocked over the coach and fell to the ground. Right. He was pushing him.
Draymond got pushed backward.
Yeah, and Gary Payton Jr. was the one who actually knocked the coach down. But everybody's like, Draymond pushed the coach down. Draymond, I'm like, man, what are y'all looking at?
No, he did. I'm with you on that.
Just don't touch the man.
By the way, the coach stayed down for a little while, but I think he's okay. But go ahead.
I think he's okay. But once all of that sort of stuff happens, Skip, you're going to have these confrontations and things of that nature. I just don't like that he's involved in it. Because, again, we're talking about the incident as if he's losing his mind or something again. And I don't like that narrative for any player because it's not right. Just because he has a history of a hot-headed temper type guy.
Well, he does.
You know, we can't just look at this and automatically assume he's in the wrong. And I think a lot of people are doing that.
Well, that comes with it, Key. I mean, when you've committed so many crimes and you're in the vicinity of the crime again.
I understand.
You're going to get pointed out. In the lineup. So, every time he was in the area, you know, something must have happened.
So, for me, Draymond Green is as conflicting and fascinating a player as I've ever tried to figure out because, Keyshawn, you have socialized with him. You know him. Off the floor, he is fun to be around.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. Mm-hmm. He's funny and fun. And big charisma, big personality. Have you been around him at all?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, he's been around him. I'm looking at the numbers.
Yeah.
What's the numbers, Key?
Man, I'm just messing with you, man. No, I got his 10-game deal. I was messing with Paul. I had to pull out his 10 games that he played against Draymond in his career.
When I was a player coach.
You know. Really? As a player coach?
Man, you wasn't a player coach in 2012.
When I was a player coach.
Was this Clippers or?
No, it was Clippers. Yeah, no, okay. In 2012, you played for Boston in 2012.
What happened there?
I don't even want to, you'll be mad at me if I did that to you, Paul. That's just one of your bad nights.
All right. Oh, I took it light because they wasn't that good in 2012. So I must have went out the night before.
You probably did.
Maybe.
You had 20 attempts. You only hit 4 of them. I'm just saying.
Yeah. That was probably one, too.
Okay.
So back to Draymond. He is the most beloved villain in the history of this league because he is beloved. He is a celebrity podcaster, and his podcasts are really good. He is gifted at that. He is so gifted with his gab that he's already hired full-time as a participant for TNT's Inside the NBA. So he's got a future when this ends, and I don't know that it's going to end anytime soon. But the point is, I think the referees are having a hard time figuring out how to referee him because he's Draymond Green, and he does have a lengthy history of incidents and cheap shots and dirty plays. It's way back. You can just go on the internet and call up some of those montages, and you're like, oh, yeah. Oh, and that one, and that one, and that one. And obviously it crescendoed when he punched his teammate, who's now in Washington. But the point was, the referee's now under referee Draymond because he's Draymond. It's like, well, that's just Draymond. And right. It is. It's just, he's not going to change. Right. I don't care. I don't know how much anger management counseling he undertook. It's not going to change who he is. And they don't want him to change because he is their conscience of that team. He is their backbone. They are not the same without him. I don't care what you say. He is an igniter for them. He ignites their offense and he ignites their emotion because Steph and Clay are not physical players, obviously. They need him. Mm-hmm. And yet he always comes close to being more trouble than worth because you can't just keep getting suspended and get technical fouls. And you can't choke out Rudy Gobert, even though, to your point, Rudy started it.
You can't choke him out. I told you that, Skip, but yeah. You can't touch him either.
Okay. And then you cannot wheel and do MMA kicks on Nurkic in the corner. You just can't do it. It's like
you can't go over the top.
You can't step on Sabonis' chest. Use him as a chair liftoff.
But now the referees are like, that's just who he is. Yeah. Okay, that's just who he is. Well, yeah. Okay, did he deserve a technical foul for what he did to Aldama? I think most players, in a vacuum, they just get a tech. They would just stop it. They just say, okay, that's enough. Stop that. Technical on you. Then both Draymond and Desmond Bane get a technical, and I'm with you on this. Don't touch me. But Desmond Bane is saying, don't get in my coach's face. I'm going to have my coach's back. Because Memphis is known that they're a quote-unquote fighting team. Not that they fight you, but they fight back. They're extremely competitive, and they don't like Golden State. And remember what Draymond did when he got tossed game one at Memphis? I'm going back a couple of years ago in the playoffs. And he does a victory lap around the whole arena, screaming at the crowd, and he goes straight back to the hotel and goes live on his podcast. Okay. Way to go. That's Draymond. But the point is that it was just another little instance, just a little indication that, to your point, he's just the same guy. And he's got a quick trigger, and he can get hot-headed quick, and he's going to fight back. And if you touch him or embarrass him, he's just going to respond in any way, shape, or form. And sometimes it's a little crazy because I do think as a competitor, he still has one screw loose, just one screw. Well, he'll just sort of snap and go.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Well, who doesn't in the NBA? What great players or Hall of Famers doesn't have a loose screw? And that's just what Draymond brings.
I know, but when you got mad, you didn't cheap shot people.
I was important to my team because I brought more statistically. You know, he brings more emotionally. So it goes hand in hand. It's almost like the same thing, you know, but they can win without Draymond. Our teams couldn't win without me.
Okay.
So you think they can win without Draymond on the floor?
They couldn't win championships, but they can get through some. I mean, like this year alone, during the suspension, he missed 12 games. They were 7-5.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not sure at my time with the Celtics before our big three, well, I missed 12 games.
No.
We 1-10, I mean, 1-11. Like, you know, so he understands. Draymond is one of the smartest players out there. He knows what he's doing. Don't get it twisted. Don't be fooled that he's over the top or he loses attitude. This is strategic right here. This is carefully planned right here. He's getting into the heads of the other team. They lose it. After this scuffle, Golden State goes on a run, and look, the game is over. This is strategic. He's like, we're not going back to it. So the rest of his teammates see that.
Yeah.
They're like, all right, You know, it's time he stood up. And I'll give you a story. We played Cleveland when they had Shaq with LeBron. And they were like the number one seed. And I remember we played in the playoffs. Something happened with Perkins.
Which year would this been like?
This 2000, maybe like 11, maybe. Okay. I'm not sure. But when Perk stood up to Shaq and got in his face, we all looked like, whoa, you know, that's Shaq. That gave us some type of confidence, like, oh, yeah, we're going to run over them now. We're gonna whoop them, get them out of here, because nobody did that to Shaq. I never seen nobody get in Shaq's face.
Wow.
That's what Draymond brings to this team. He gets into the other big man's face or whoever their guys are, and your teammates look at that and like, all right, it's time to start spanking them all over the floor.
Yeah, it happened at about the 6:38 mark left in the second quarter, and at the end of the game, it was 137-116. So that just tells you, they was up by two at that point.
They were.
And so that just tells you right there the attitude that he brings, the confidence he brings.
I agree.
Everything is okay. And like you said, though, Skip, yeah, the Memphis in Golden State has had battles in the past. Obviously, Ja didn't play. What's the kid that's in the crazy dude that's in Houston now that was with them?
Oh, Dylan Brooks.
Dylan Brooks. Yeah. He's not a part of that team.
And Marcus Smart is now a part and didn't play last night.
Marcus Smart is a part of that team. But that was the kind of, I don't know, it's like a we're young and we coming after y'all old dudes in the past. But that's not Memphis. They're a shell of themselves from a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to think that still carries over from the past for Draymond and the rest of the Golden State Warriors, that these young dudes had these attitudes in disrespecting us, that we're not going to let that happen, this time around.
All right, so Paul, we're looking at an all-time possible play-in here, and you brought it up the other day. It's just loaded with superstars. You can call them aging superstars or whatever, but obviously there's LeBron, and obviously there's Steph, and obviously there's KD, and then there's Luka and Kyrie, okay? Somebody ain't advancing. Two teams are not going to make it into the quote-unquote real playoffs, right?
Golden State in Dallas.
I think the Lakers might be on the outside looking in on this one. They got to go to Golden. They got to go to Golden. If they got to go to Golden State.
Yeah.
If the Lakers got to go to Golden State for one game, for their playoff life. One game for their playoff life. You got them. You'll put money down. You'll put the house up.
No, I ain't gonna put the house up, but yeah, I understand.
That's why I think the Lakers this year are gonna be on the outside looking in.
The problem though is if they play them, we're bigger, first of all. If AD come to play.
You just lost your whole entire bench for the season.
Well, I mean, what the they whole say. Bench. That's what they say. It's not known. Rachel was
Skip brought this up the other day that this is a key piece. They'll be a different team with their bench.
They would be.
But that don't mean we lost them for the season. It's reported that's a possibility. I'm holding out hope.
It doesn't sound good. And then you made the strong case, even if all three come back for day one of the playoffs, they have not played all year for the most part.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about the seven guys that actually are in the rotation.
Yeah.
I think they can go to Golden State if Anthony Davis plays. Because who do they got for Anthony? Looney ain't playing.
Draymond Green.
Mm-hmm.
What you mean? Draymond Green is there. You know, Anthony don't like that physical confrontation when he start throwing elbows in the bottom of his back, pushing him out farther than where he really want to be. Yeah, should he get numbers on Draymond because he's 7 inches taller and more athletic and faster? Of course. But we've seen AD in too many circumstances shrink in the moment.
We have.
And so if this is the moment to where you're saying the Lakers need to get a win in Golden State, and then they got to get another win, to get to the playoffs, I'm just not buying with the way they've been consistently up and down all year long to play well when it's really needed.
I do think AD should be an extreme advantage for the Lakers. And to our point about Draymond, he now becomes way more valuable without Kevon Looney because he's their inside force. He's their quote-unquote rim protector, even though he's not much of a leaper. Well, Anthony Davis should have his way with that. He just should. He should get whatever he should be able to name his number and the score in that matchup.
Yeah, he should.
And LeBron too, to me.
But
with no rim protector.
Sometimes Anthony Davis plays a lot smaller than his size. And if you are defending him aggressively, he tends to disappear in those type of moments when he should elevate.
I mean, Anthony Davis has the potential to be the best player in the league. Like, how many times have we said that in certain games? Like, wow, he looks like all world. He looked like a guy you can put up against Giannis, against the Joker, against NBA, against anybody in the world. But then when you look at the end of the game and he only has, like, 7 rebounds, 18 points, yeah, that's a good game for guys that don't have the same potential as him, but this is Anthony Davis. He got the capabilities of giving you 30 and 12 every single night. And it's just something about he just doesn't know who he is some nights. He looks in the mirror, he doesn't see the same reflection.
He doesn't, no.
And that's going to change this year, though, man.
And yeah, it turns into something else.
It's going to change. It's going to change this year. I got hope.
I'm with you, but I do not like the fact that those three are missing because those three make them
missing all year long.
Squad. I know, but and that's why your team's like 5 games over 500. But Golden State hasn't been much better.
No.
And you're saying if they do get the Lakers at home and they do eliminate the Lakers at home, can Golden State then go on any kind of run? Could they get out of the play-in? Or are you saying they would be 2-and-done?
I don't think Golden State can get out of the play-in. I think they can beat the Lakers, though. But then the next matchup will probably have to be against, what, Dallas maybe? Or Phoenix?
Dallas and Phoenix.
I don't think they can beat Dallas or Phoenix the way they're
constructed. What are they? They're a game and a half behind. I mean, they're half a game behind the Lakers right now. They're sitting at the 10th
spot.
Well,
they just won, so didn't they go back?
Yeah, they're half a game.
I didn't look.
Lakers at 9,
Lakers,
10. They're half a game back.
They got to see each other.
Yeah,
that's
one way or the other, they're going to
see each other.
The one thing Golden State's got to deal with, they're about to go on a 5-game road trip, and it's not that easy. Mm-hmm. So you'll see what they're made of.
Yeah, these are all – and the thing is, these are all must-wins for the Lakers and Golden State because I've been watching Houston lately go on a 6-game win streak. They're 3 games behind the 10th slot. Now, if one of these teams have a bad week, and the way Houston's playing, they can sneak into that play-in.
Yeah, but these teams all got a huge break because Şengün, who's their –
They played better since Şengün went down for some reason.
I understand, but in the end, you're going to need him if you're going to really make a run into the 10 seed to me. But I'm with you. Ime's got them playing. They play hard on both ends. They're fun to watch, man.
Yeah,
they got
we had our way with Golden State last year in the playoffs. I'm not worried about it, man.
That was last year, Key.
That's okay.
This is a new
Same
year.
Team.
Mm-hmm. No.
They don't have Looney.
You got it. Lakers done.
See, that's the
Lakers
Celtic
done.
Stuff, though,
yeah,
man.
I think it is the Celtic
stuff. It's the Celtic stuff.
I would agree.
It's okay, though.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this, crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right, Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right, VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids. Just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
James Harden did something last night I had never seen in any basketball game I have ever watched. Clippers were up 21 in the third quarter. James kicked it out to a wide open Kawhi in the corner, then immediately bolted out to cover Kawhi as if James were playing defense, as if he were closing out on the shooter, hand in face. What? Kawhi did miss the shot. So here after the game is how James explained what he did.
gotta bring some excitement to the team. You know what I mean? I think this last few weeks has been a fog for us, and I think every team goes through it. So I think just me just trying to create a good energy, create a great vibe for this team. And I mean, it would have been better if we had made the shot, but just give something to laugh about, you know what I mean? Some excitement.
Give everybody something to laugh about? Paul Pierce, have you ever seen anything like this?
I've never seen anything like this. I mean, especially a team with an identity crisis right now. I mean, yeah, it's funny when you're up 20, but we're in the times to where a 20-point lead is not safe anymore in the NBA.
Yeah.
And so this screams to me that there's still a lack of leadership on this team. I mean, you're coming down the stretch. Obviously, Kawhi didn't think it was funny. If you look at the end of the play, he kind of throws his hands up like, you know, what are you doing? Like, so that just tells me again that there's an identity crisis with this team, the lack of leadership with this team. It's not like you're one of the best teams. I could get it like if you're the Boston Celtics. You guys are steamrolling teams and, you know, you guys are having fun. You're head and shoulders, but you guys are still trying to find yourself as a team coming down the stretch, Clippers.
Yeah.
And this, to me, when I look at it, it's just not funny. I mean, this might have been the best defense Harden's played all year. I mean,
that's true. That's a good line. Bingo.
I mean, you know, let's see that effort against the
other team.
That's
a good point. Yeah.
And so, you know, I just don't know where this Clipper team is going moving forward. Yeah. So maybe you just sweep this under the rug and move on because you won. But let them lose that game or they come back. Portland come back.
No.
It wouldn't be so funny. So I think they got to start building something here toward the end. They're only 5-5 in their last 10.
Yep.
Sweep it under the rug and just
keep you're laughing. And I love it that you're laughing.
No, I'm laughing because I'm just sitting here. I'm listening to Paul. Paul's right about everything he's saying. I understand what James Harden said in the press conference about they've been, you know, they lost, what, 4 out of the last 5.
Yep.
He's just trying to figure out how to get them going. They're up by 21. Paul is right. In this day in basketball, you could erase that. We've seen it. Mm-hmm. We've seen it erased in basketball. I'm laughing because I'm sitting here and I'm saying to myself, okay, what if? Because I'm a what-if guy in all these situations. What if the defender trips over James Harden's left leg, his right ankle, and it rolls into Kawhi? You know, just some old weird what-if type stuff. I'm like, why would you do that? That's a risk that you shouldn't be taking. Mm-hmm. I get it. You rolling them. You don't think they could come back and win the game. I understand that. But what if something happens along the way as Kawhi's shooting? Kawhi gets nicked up here and there. What if he sees you and he decides, let me step to the left of this dude, don't run in. You know, it's just like some things just don't make sense at all. That's why I'm laughing. I'm like, why would you even do that? But in 2019, you know, LeBron James, Rondo had a fast break. In 2019, when Rondo was on the team, he had a fast break. Mm-hmm. And he made the fast break. You know, LeBron went to fake like he was getting ready to block. It was at the Staples Center.
But he was just having fun with it, and he didn't try to block it. He did.
He did a very similar thing to what James Harden did.
Listen. When I saw this for the first time last night, I had to watch it again and again and again because I said, that's impossible. I think James can be so sort of absent-minded. He's got basketball genius about him, but sometimes he could be thinking about, where am I going to go after the game? We're up 21. What am I going to do?
Man, he ain't thinking about that.
Players think about that.
Oh, they do. And he just lost it for a second and forgot which end of the floor he was on. And to Paul's point, I was impressed by how hard he closed out because he went hard at him.
Hey, y'all crazy,
and
man.
Kawhi did not love it, man. Because
that was a solid challenge.
It was a solid challenge, and he forced a miss by Kawhi because it's a wide-open corner three.
So you get ready to sit here and tell me you think he just blanked out.
Yeah, I think he blanked out. Do you think he did it on purpose? Because he tried to sell it like he did it on purpose.
I think he did it on purpose. How could you blank out and pass the ball to your teammate, kick it to him, and then run over there a split second later.
Because he's played on so many teams, he forgot what team
Am I on? Yeah. It's true.
See, I'm trying to get a man the benefit of the doubt. Y'all not helping me. I'm using what he said, but now that you done said that, Skip, and you put it in, I can't agree with you.
But you're thinking about it.
You got me thinking like, maybe he did. Yeah. I don't. And then Paul sitting here saying the same thing. I'm like, there's no way he thought that that was the opponent. Yeah. He couldn't have.
So he tried to sell it after the game was, I tried to give us something to laugh about. Well, it's really not laughable to me because it's just too crazy.
It was a different.
It wasn't funny to me. It was just shocking. And the last thing in the world Kawhi Leonard thought that he would see flashing up in his face was James Harden trying to defend my shot.
if you see after the play, he's like,
"Yeah, what are you doing?
What's going on? I wonder what was said in the locker room after. Like, do you say something as a coach or as Kawhi?
You're up
20.
You do. You go to James Harden. You say, man, don't do that no more. What the hell's wrong with you? Again, Paul, you got to understand what I'm saying when I say the what if factor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he wasn't closed in all the way on him, but you know as well as I know, dudes rolling ankles.
Some of the weirdest things happen. James Harden challenged. Kawhi could have landed on his foot.
Well, landed on his foot, but the defender, I don't even know who the defender is. He's running there. What if he would have hit James Harden's back ankle and rolled on Kawhi?
Yeah.
That's how I look at it. It's a what if factor. I know, man. It's James Harden, so it becomes even another one of my guys that I don't want to see in this situation where you're like, oh, man, come on, man.
Right.
Oh.
All right, so looking at the scope of things, he is the biggest reason I can't buy into this team going forward.
He shot the ball well last night, though.
He did. He had a good game. He had 14 assists last night. He played very well. They took care of business.
Second time
Portland.
This season he's had 14.
Okay, I hear you. But Paul will remember this very well, and I don't have enough show left to go over all of his epic flameouts and postseason games, but just this past year against the Boston Celtics, James Harden scored 45 points in game one at Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And won the game.
And then disappeared.
Well, no, then game four.
That was game four.
Game four back at Philly, he scored 42 points and they win another game. And all of a sudden I look up and your Celtics are down 3-2 with game six in Philadelphia. And then if I combine 6 and 7, James Harden goes 7 of 27 from the floor, 1 of 11 from three, and has 5 turnovers in each of the two games for 10 total. He just completely disappeared. And so did Philadelphia at that point. So I don't know. Just the biggest moments, the biggest games, you cannot trust him. And yet he's been magnificent for them. He's just what the doctor ordered for them because he can when he decides to distribute the basketball, he is a gifted playmaker for them, as he used to be a gifted MVP of a scorer.
I mean, the great thing about him on the Clippers also, Skip, he's not asked to be the first option or the second option. We've seen him in those positions. So now I believe in the playoffs, if the Clippers are going to go somewhere, they don't have to worry about if James Harden can play exactly like this, 16, 17 points, 12 assists, and let all the heavy work be done by Kawhi and Paul George, the emotional leader, Westbrook, the bench, Ty Lue do their thing, then they got a shot.
Okay.
And so all that stuff in the past with Harden, we've seen that he wasn't able to get a team over the top.
But maybe he was the first option. Like, you need him, right? Okay.
In certain games, he can do that. Now it's not relied on him here with the Clippers. So that game in the playoffs where he has 30 is a bonus now because Paul George, Kawhi Leonard are asked to do the scoring.
So I do love the fact that you got – that Ty Lue convinced two guys who have huge egos because they earned their egos. Mm-hmm. He convinced Russ to come off the bench and lead the shock troops, the second unit, and he convinced James Harden to swallow his considerable pride and be the orchestrator for this team. And James seems pretty happy with he's number three, most nights his primary objective is, from Ty Lue, is I need you to get the ball at the right place at the right time. And he's been doing that.
But the thing about it, he's been the third guy before. Multiple stops.
No.
Third.
Where?
At OKC, young.
Okay, but
in Brooklyn, Well, they didn't play that much, but they didn't play that much, but he essentially was going to be the third guy and the facilitator, okay, when you had KD and Kyrie and him. So he's been there before, so it's not that hard for him to go back in that position as long as you're talking to him right, as long as you're getting him to buy in, much like Ty Lue did.
He did. No?
No. He's always been the first or second priority scorer. In Brooklyn, you got to go back and look at that. He was in MVP talks.
Well, they had, because those dudes wasn't playing, though.
He was in MVP talks in Brooklyn, and it looked like Kyrie was a third option. But in saying that, this is the perfect role for him. And you know the thing about, I will give James credit. I've never seen a player of his caliber that we, when we watched him in Houston talk about, he's going to be, he's probably the greatest scorer we've ever seen in this generation. To, as he got older, he morphed into one of the best passers in the game.
He did.
You know, so he's made the adjustment to where you can see Harden now play for 5-6 more years from today. You know, but he just has to develop a situation to where he's like, listen, I want to win a championship. I need to be a little more serious now. Now I don't have the pressure of being the guy who has to score 40 consistently in the big moment, but I have to be consistent at what he does. And what he does now, well, is he distributes. And we need that to be consistent for them to get over the top.
So you and I had a quick conversation the other day off camera, which I will disclose because it belonged on camera, but we're talking about who is left in the NBA that you look at as he's got that cold-blooded assassin, that one guy who you would trust to just take over and change games. And the first name out of your mouth was Kawhi is still that
there.
Guy,
he's
right?
He's still in there, absolutely.
Okay. All right, so that's why with the Clippers, I give them a chance because of him.
Absolutely.
And he has done this at the highest level before.
Yeah, I don't need the Clippers winning nothing, but I want them to win because of those guys, but I don't want them to win.
So which is it?
I know, I'm like conflicted. I told Paul George that, and said, man, I want y'all to win because of y'all, but I don't want y'all to win because of L.A. I'm not a Clipper guy.
Yeah.
You know, I want them to win, Skip, but I don't want them to win. You know, I want to see Brooke and Harden and Kawhi and PG get a ring, but
I can't.
Would
you consider this team a super team? Is this a super team right now?
It should be.
It's not a super team?
I don't think so because they're older now.
Kawhi is playing Kawhi basketball.
No, yeah.
But George is still an all-star.
But they're just older now.
And James is contributing at a high level. James is arguably the best third option. Him and Beal, I put them in, like, third. Think of third options. You got Porzingis, Harden, Beal. Who else is a better third option in the league? Third option. On a winning team. Think of all the winning teams. Who's in Dallas? Nobody. Who's in Golden State? Who's in OKC? Who's in Denver?
Who's in Denver?
That's who's in Minnesota? Is this a super team?
I guess you could call it a super team, but I just, for now, I'm factoring in the age factor, you know? Because when you got...
They called us a super team. We was old.
No, y'all wasn't old.
We was old. We was all in our 30s.
Well, that's... Okay.
And one other thing that Clippers got going, that guy who comes off their bench, who used to play at UCLA a long time ago, that guy can... He is a... professional scorer when he comes in.
Y'all was old?
We was old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let us get together when we was about 26. It wouldn't have been no championships.
You put it together?
No, I didn't. It would have been no championships for the
man, you met them dudes. I heard the story. You met them in... I know where you met them at. They already told me.
Where I met him at.
You met him in Puerto Rico. I know where you met him. I know the story.
He don't know nothing, Skip. Don't listen to this.
Hey, man, come join me, man.
Nah, don't listen to this. This wasn't orchestrated.
No, I know. I'm just messing with Paul.
Yeah.
I know Paul didn't put it together. Paul stayed the course.
This is the super team era where you orchestrate your teams. This is the era now.
The one guy for the Clippers I can't root against is the coach. Because I think he's really good at what he does.
I can't root against him at all.
Yep.
I want him to win, but being a Laker fan, the Clippers are just a little brother. I mean, I guess you go ahead and maybe give them one just for the, you know, fun.
No, oh, come on. Come on. If they're going to do it this the year, I believe. If they're going to do it this the year.
At the end of his press conference yesterday, Deion Sanders said he had something he wanted to get off his chest. And he responded to last week's USA Today report that not once has he left campus on a recruiting trip since being hired as Colorado's football coach. using none of the $200,000 budget he gets annually for private plane flights. Deion said that as a businessman, he tries to save the university money, as he, I quote him, every darn chance I get. Deion said he'd much rather have parents come to Boulder and see how beautiful it is than visit recruits in their homes. Deion said going to a recruit's neighborhood is just showcasing Deion and wasting money, and that if he visits one kid, other coaches in the vicinity will be unhappy if he doesn't make an appearance at their school to see their kids. Deion said, and I quote, "I can't do things other coaches do. You know why? I'm Coach Prime, and I didn't stutter when I said it." Finally, Deion said he mostly has recruited veteran players from the portal, and that older players just want to know how much they're going to play and how much they're going to make, and that can be handled by phone. Keyshawn, your reaction to Coach Prime's response?
You know, Skip, I learned about this when we went to Colorado. We took the show to Colorado.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I knew because I was talking to him doing one of the breaks or whatever.
Yeah.
And I said, when you getting on the road? And you know how Prime is. Prime, like, baby, I ain't getting on the road. Mm. This my road right here. He picked up the phone.
Oh, that's
said,
good.
This my road right
yeah,
here.
It is.
I said, oh, you're not going on the road? I said, no, I'm not going on the road. I'm gonna do it different. I'm going to just FaceTime mama and get it done. I understand what he's doing because he is Prime. So in the end, he's right about everything he's saying. When you go into a city, Skip, as a coach, and there's 10 high schools within a 4-mile radius, you now, I'm only going to get Paul. I don't want to see Skip and Keyshawn. I'm going to see Paul. Paul is at Inglewood. I just want to see Paul. I don't want to go, but they may have the next Paul 3 years from now. And if I decide not to hit up that school at Luzinger, I'm out on Russell Westbrook. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
So, because I now got to get on the plane and head to Oklahoma to go look for somebody. Mm-hmm. So it becomes one of those things. So the best thing to do is keep it even across the board. I'm not coming to your town, so I don't have to hear you say, I need to drive way to Calabasas to recruit somebody that I got a 20% chance of getting. And so it makes all the sense in the world. On top of that, that money that he saves can also go back into the assistant coaching pool.
It can.
Where now you utilize that money to go out and get better assistant coaches because you can pay them more money.
And real quick point, the assistants do go out. The assistants go out on the road.
Mm-hmm. So now, unlike when me and Paul was in college being recruited, it was limits on how many visits you could have on campus. Now it's a free fall. You can bring in 200 kids if you choose to do so every single week, every day, whatever it is, when the recruiting season opens up. Mm-hmm. But it was only when we was in school, it might have been you only could bring like 30 kids on campus type stuff.
But when you were in school, in high school, coaches came to your doorstep, right? And to doorstep,
they,
right?
The doorstep, it becomes a revolving door. Keyshawn out.
Okay.
Keyshawn out. Paul in, right after another. The food had to be laid out perfectly, and everybody's cell pitch was the same. Everybody said the same damn thing, a bunch of lies.
That's not true. There was some that said,
No, all lies. They recruited
you. There are a few bags offered here and there, right?
Well, we don't want to talk about that. Yeah. But
okay,
yes.
And what was your experience getting recruited?
Yeah, I had coaches come to the games, come to the house, but I really don't think that was a big factor. You know, you have your conversations. They express the interest in it, but I understand what Deion's saying. And what he's done in Colorado, he's created such a cult following. You know, I had a chance to go to a game.
You did, with KG.
KG out there, and I sat on the sideline. Deion has found a way in this day and current age, because it is different.
I went to Colorado, USC game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's created in this day and age to where you do have FaceTime, you do have social media, you can express interest in the player. Deion has created the combination of the sports and hip-hop culture to where everybody has gravitated to him. You got to understand, he's an icon. I wore his shoes. So now, I was on the sideline with numerous ex-NFL players, NBA guys, hip-hop stars. And guess what? The recruits were there. I'm thinking as a kid, if I'm getting recruited and I'm on the sideline and Magic and Jordan is there and I'm touching them, like, nice getting pictures with them. This is something like, man, the culture here, this is something I might want to be a part of. So, like, why wouldn't I want to come here and play against one of the greatest that's ever played the game, mm-hmm. who has influence on the NFL, to where I can possibly get there one day and take some of that knowledge to the next level? I want to be a part of this. I've watched plenty of documentaries, Skip, about cults. And I've never seen the leader go to someone's house. Like, they hear about what's going on. they come to the meeting, and they go to them.
That's
and
true.
This is what I've seen he's created here in Colorado.
Not that it's a bad cult. It's a great cult. But wasn't that day, cult. Didn't it feel like an event to you?
It was huge event.
I mean, it felt like a...
you were there.
Like a
you saw it.
NFL playoff game or, you know, like it had magnitude to it, right?
It was just a presence that he creates there to where, listen, I don't care where Boulder is, I want to be a part of something. I want to be a part of not only this team, this is a movement. I want to be a part of this culture that he's created here. And that's what I see.
I do agree with this point. If you can get the parents to come to Boulder, it's a beautiful place.
It's
just beautiful. I mean, it's not L.A. It's different. But the mountains, you just look up and the scope of it. It's just like in the peace. Like, yeah, it's a great place. And they have tradition. Once upon a time, it's a long time ago, but they won a national championship. So it's not like there's not some legacy going on there.
See, you know, Skip, as Deion said, he's not like the rest of the coaches. It's just true, right? He's just not. There's probably only five coaches that probably could duplicate the not going on the road recruiting. It's probably only five I can think of.
Keyshawn, I'm not sure anybody could.
No, no, here's why. I would say a guy that probably could have pulled that off was Pete Carroll. Probably could pull it off because he's engaging.
Yeah.
And much like Paul said, when you have a certain pizzazz to you, like USC under Pete, we had a lack of institutional control handed down on us because we had the celebrities on the sideline.
We had the agents.
And this and that.
The agents.
And everybody. It was a party on every single game on the sideline.
Yeah. Right.
The University of Miami. It was just a party on the sideline, right? But, you know, Nick Saban probably could do it. You know, maybe Lane Kiffin can do it.
Maybe.
But that maybe because they have a certain way of recruiting and people listening to them. That's why they're such fabulous recruiters. Deion is at a different level because he's prime. I mean, like, even if a kid didn't want to go to Colorado, they want to come see him. Even if I'm like, I ain't going to Colorado, I'm going to LSU.
But I'm gonna take this trip anyway.
They're going to take the visit anyway.
Keyshawn, as big as Coach Saban was last year at Alabama, Deion was bigger.
Like, of course.
He's more recognizable than even Coach Saban. He's just huge.
Of course.
And so the magnitude of Deion is such that he can FaceTime. And it's just as effective. And he did.
Absolutely,
remember,
it is.
He had the number one portal class in America last year to start off with.
I think this year he's like top five.
Yeah, and yet their high school class, he only recruited seven kids in high school in this class.
They got to be in the top five.
Well, they're 22nd overall.
Oh, because of the numbers.
Because there are only seven of them.
Yeah, it's only seven.
But a lot of schools go completely the other way around. Yeah. Now, it's because Deion said, I got to rebuild this thing on the fly. I don't want to wait. I don't have to wait 4, 5, 6 years for these kids to grow up. I want grown men, and he's got a bunch of them, and they're going to be much better. And he's record saying, you know, we'll be a playoff team next year.
You got a quarterback that's a year older now in terms of understanding what the Power Five conferences are like. Opponents are coming from HBCU. That's under his belt.
Yeah.
Travis Hunter. I mean, they got some pieces. Where they up front is where they needed to get stronger at.
Yeah.
And he went out and got dudes the front on the offense and the defensive side of the ball. I look for them to compete to be in the college football playoff for sure.
Yeah.
100%. This is not going to be a 4-10 football team.
So when I first read this story last Thursday night, you weren't here on Friday, Michael Irvin was. But when I first read it, I was like, God, I can't even believe that because I'm old school because I thought to close the deal with that mom of that player, it feels like you have to go see her where she lives. But that's not the way it is anymore. Not for that guy.
No.
Although Michael Irvin did say, and he's very close with Deion, Michael's point on Friday was maybe down the road there will be that quarterback, the number one quarterback in the country. Maybe Coach Prime has to say, okay, I'll go there for him because he could be a life changer.
That's one guy.
One.
And he'll do that then, but his whole message is, why blow through $200,000? We could save this money and use this money and resources in other places.
Yeah.
Why do it if you don't have to?
Right. So
to fly on a jet somewhere? Okay, right. He's been on a million of those.
So when Paul was a senior at Inglewood High School here in the L.A. area, Roy Williams goes to visit him, and I don't read about it in the paper. And Roy's big. I mean, he's one of the best, but I don't read about it. But if Dion goes to visit Inglewood, it's big news because it's social media time, and it explodes. And then your rival coaches, down to your point, they got a decent player here, and they're like, well, you were here, and you didn't even stop by.
You just checked us out.
You made a good point on that.
Yeah.
That's how they treat. But that's how the high school coaches treat coaches, right? It's a weird dynamic. If you don't stop at their school, and I got a lot of head coaching friends in college football.
Yeah.
If you don't stop at that guy's school, even though they don't have a player that you would take.
But they might later.
They may later on. Yeah. And now they feel a certain way because they feel like, oh, and on top of that, kids then say, well, I don't want to play at this school because you don't have the recruiters coming in. I'm going over to Inglewood. That's what they do.
All right. Final point about this was, when I read that Colorado gave him only $200,000 for private planes, that's four flights, right? Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
That's your whole budget? And Deion has talked about they don't have the deepest NIL pockets at Colorado. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's about four trips. Right? Maybe.
East to West Coast.
Where you going?
If you go to California, that's about 45,000 private jet.
That's what I'm saying. Where you going? You go burn through that.
You're about to take a helicopter.